I want to thank you all for coming tonight. Knowing that I am the substitute is made me wonder if I'd come in and see a bunch of empty chairs, and it would have been okay. It would have only hurt my feelings a little. but I do appreciate you coming. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Keith Foskey. I graduated from this seminary in 2007 with my doctorate of ministry degree. I was here as a student of Dr. Vernon Johns first. He was my homiletics professor, my eschatology professor, and my friend. He also had a dear friend named Dr. Jerry Powers. Dr. Jerry Powers took over for him when he passed, and he became a very close personal friend and mentor to me for many years. After I graduated, I did spend a little while not seeing him, but he did me a great favor once. A lady asked me to preach her funeral. She asked me before she died, just so y'all know. She asked me to preach her funeral, and I didn't have a robe, but she requested a robe. She wanted her minister to wear a minister's robe, and I didn't have one, couldn't afford one. So Dr. Powers let me borrow his robe, and I wore his robe to preach her funeral. And I'll never forget that. He's just a very generous man and a loving man and a man who I still miss very much to this day. And I'm thankful for the men who spoke into my life at this school and who were able to give me guidance and wisdom at a very young and formative age. And I'm thankful now to have the opportunity to speak before you all. So thank you again for being here.
What is your aspirations now?
I'm a pastor. I've been the pastor of Sovereign Grace Family Church for the last 10 years. Oh, I just refreshed Greek. I'm here because they were offering the Greek course. I wanted to come and learn some more. I've studied with different Greek professors. Probably the most influential on me has been a man by the name of John Swan. He wrote the Interlinear ESV. I preach out the ESV Bible at my church, and he wrote the reverse interlinear ESV. And he's a very smart, very intelligent Greek scholar, and it's been a man that I've had an opportunity to study a little bit with. I'm not going to say I was with him for a long time, but I've had an opportunity to study a little bit with him. That was a real blessing to me. But knowing that it would be good to be back in the classroom, getting to meet you all, were part of my motivation for coming back here and just being in class. Just you, as a pastor, you're also a student, and you're never not a student. So we want to just grow in the Word. So I want to begin with a little quote that I like to share. I'm not quoting anybody. This is something I tell people all the time. Because I've taught Greek in my church. I've never taught in the seminary, but I have taught in my church. I've taught young people, children, not like little kids, but youth-aged children, Greek classes, because they seem to be the most interested. I can't get my senior adults to do it yet, but the young kids, really, I say, hey, I'm going to do a Greek course. Man, it's flooded with teenagers and people because they're hungry to learn. And I always tell them the same thing. Our single purpose. Hey, brother, come on in. We just started. You ain't missed nothing except for me talking. Our single purpose for studying Koine, and you remember Koine is the Greek that we are studying. There are different types of the language as it has evolved. We are studying Koine, which means common. It was common in the first century in the time of Jesus Christ. Our single purpose for studying Koine is the proper exegesis of Scripture. What does the word exegesis mean? Somebody, you can answer. Means to pull out of something. Too many men make it their business of reading into the text something that is not there. They have an idea. They have something they want to talk about. They have some point that they want to make. And I've heard too many times preachers say, I've got a great sermon, now I've just got to find a text. You ever heard anybody say, I've got a great sermon, I just need a text to go with it? That is not preaching Scripture. That is preaching your opinions or your convictions with scriptural ornaments. Because the root is not Scripture. The root is your opinion and your conviction, and then you sprinkle it with these ornaments of Scripture. Scripture should be the root. It should be the trunk. And if you're going to put any meat on the bones or you're going to put any ornaments on the tree, that's where your illustrations and things like that come in. That you don't start with the illustration and go looking for a text. You start with the text and then you find whatever you need to help people understand what the text says. The opposite of exegesis is what? Anybody know?
Eisegesis.
Eisegesis, which means to read into. Eis being the prefix meaning into. Ek being the out of. We've already learned that. We've talked about this in class. To get out of something. When you go to the text of Scripture, you want to draw out from it what it says. And ultimately, you want to draw out the original author's intention. Now, we could all say, who is the author of Scripture?
God.
The Holy Spirit of God inspired the Word of God to be written. But then we have to say that the medium of the individual was used. So Paul writes differently than does John. And John, and we've already talked about that because we've said John reads differently than Hebrews, right? Hebrews is written in a more classical Greek style. John is written in a very simple, elementary Greek style. And then, of course, you're able to see the difference is that God uses these men. And it wasn't like that God made them a sort of a mimeograph machine where he just, it wasn't like automatic writing. These were men who were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is what Peter tells us in his epistle. These are holy men of God wrote, or they spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So we know how Scripture comes to us. It comes to us through these men. I want to know what was in the mind of the Apostle Paul. I want to know what was in the mind of the Apostle Peter and John as they were writing. I want to know what was in the mind of Luke and of Mark. And the only way to do that is proper exegesis. That's the goal. The goal of studying Greek is never to impress people. I know guys who want to tell you how much they know about the Greek language when they're preaching, and you end up leaving not knowing much more than when you came because you don't know the Greek language, and you're impressed that this guy's really smart, but you wouldn't know if he was telling you a fib. You wouldn't know if what he was telling you was wrong because he's being very erudite. He's being very show-offy with his understanding of the word, and so he just starts spitting out all these words. You wouldn't know if he's telling you the truth or not. And it does no good to confuse our people. If the English translation is sufficient, use it, because that's what they speak. You know, that's one thing we haven't really talked about yet. If the English is sufficient, I remember guys will say, well, this word is this in the Greek, and it means this in the English. Well, that's what it said in English. Why'd you have to do that? Because I had to fill 10 seconds of sermon time. I got to fill 40 minutes, or I don't know how long you preach, but you know me, I'm preached 40, 45 minutes. I got to fill some time. Y'all know that's wrong, right? That's a wrong attitude. Too. That's what we do. We want people to know, hey, they're paying us. They better pay us for something. We got to give them something. You know, they signed my paycheck. You better make it worth it something.
You get paid hourly, brother?
Well, no. I might have a bigger paycheck if I went shorter. But anyhow, all that was just simply to say this is valuable what we're doing because it helps us to understand what's being said. It's not for us to show off. It's not for us to simply expand our minds for the sake of being able to glory in our own wisdom. But it's for the sake of being able to lead the people of God to a better understanding of the Word of God. Because that's what we want to do. So tonight, we're going to go through most of what we already have gone through. I haven't hooked up the PowerPoint yet. I do have it, but I've got enough that I don't think we'll need it. We'll still do a lot of what we already do because I put the Greek letters on here. So we are going to go through the Greek letters a few times because that is Dr. Spear's patented thing. Every 5 minutes, we got to go and go through the letters again. So, brother, can I have somebody help me? Pat, would you help me pass these out? This is the first one. I better keep one. There you go. And this has the alphabet on the front. I'm going to erase this. Anybody need this anymore? Because I'm going to write. Good? Okay. We do have one gentleman who was not with us for, and I mean to call you out, Brother Ron, but I'm just saying you weren't with us for the first class. So I am going to be, by way of reminder and for his benefit, taking a step back on some of the things like how do we remember what the letters are and stuff. Because again, I've taught kids this, and I've kind of come up with sort of fun and creative ways to remember these things. So I'm going to give them to you, and you take what you think is valuable and put it in your bag, and what you don't think is valuable, drop it in the trash can on the way out, and then we'll be good. And nobody's feelings will be hurt, because I won't even know what you dropped. Yeah, right there. Is it, you need it? Oh, we're going to hand these out in a minute, because we might not even get very far in this one. We'll see how far we go. Let's start over on the Greek alphabet, the basics. And you'll see that it's got on the far left side all of the capital letters. Then you have all the lowercase letters. Then you have the name of the letter. Then you have the English equivalent. And then you have for the different letters that we're not used to, you have what they sound like. So really, this kind of is a snapshot of what we have on the PowerPoint. So it's not anything different. It's just looking at it a little different way. Let's go through the alphabet. Starting out, alpha, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, omicron, p, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega. All right. Now, how many of you are really good at the lowercase letters? That's like practical. How many of you are comfortable with lowercase letters? Okay. How about the uppercase letters? The uppercase letters we're usually not as familiar with because when we're reading, we see 95% lowercase letters. Only time you're ever going to see an uppercase letter is at the beginning of a sentence or the beginning of a name, right? When it's a proper noun. You're not going to see uppercase letters throughout the text. Know this, though. When it was written, and Dr. Spear's already alluded to this, it was all uppercase letters. It was written. All capital letters, no spaces, no punctuation. It's called unsealed text, and it was that way for the first 8 centuries. It wasn't until the 8th century that the introduction of what's called the minuscule. Minuscule is lowercase. It wasn't. So if you look at Codex Sinaiticus, Codex Vaticanus, Codex Alexandrinus, the oldest vellum manuscripts that we have that are still in existence today, they look different than what we've been looking at. That's fine, because it's not different in what it's saying. But when you look at it, you'll be like, wow, that's really weird. Because you can imagine if I come up here and I wrote a sentence, all capital letters, no spaces, no punctuation. Because for us, that would be weird. But for them, it was not weird. They had a method of being able to understand that. And it wasn't a problem for them. It was just a problem for us. Yes, sir?
What's it called? Lowercase?
Lowercase is minuscule. Minuscule. Uppercase, all uppercase is unsealed. Unsealed text and minuscule text. All right. So let's look at the capital letters, and let's just make a few little notes here. Alpha looks like an A. Everybody agree? Beta looks like a B. The gamma looks like a what?
Upside down L.
An upside down L. It actually looks like a gallows. You know what a gallows is? I'm looking at capitals now. You're looking at the gallows. You know what a gallows is, right? Back in the Old West, you know what a gallows is? That's gallows, starts with a G. So again, I've taught this to kids. Now you remember it. You will remember that one, because now you know. All right, so that's that. The Delta, you ever see Delta Airlines? That's their symbol. It also looks like the head of a dart. That helps for D. All right. All right. Epsilon. Am I losing you, brother?
No, I'm thinking when I was in school in physics or chemistry, delta was something we used all the time. It meant
okay.
Change.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
My daughter was informing me the other day.
Huh?
My daughter was informing me the other day that she knows Greek.
Oh, good. Well, there you go.
That symbol is used in science.
Now, you will notice that they pronounce the Greek differently. Somebody in here said pi earlier when we got to the letter that looks like that.
I did.
Pi. The reason why is because you grew up pi r square, but I'm from the South and cake r square, pi r round. There you go. All right. That's an old joke. I can't believe it. I love it when an old joke still works. No, pi is how the universities use a certain language. It's called something. I just lost my word, but it's basically the university language. It's also the language of mathematics and science, and they have it a certain way. We are using what is called the Erasmian pronunciation. The Erasmian pronunciation is when you pronounce every letter, and you've heard the doc talk about that. Erasmus was a scholar during the time of Martin Luther, during the time of the Reformation, back in the 1500s. Erasmus was a scholar, and he was the one who actually put together the manuscripts into what would later become the Textus Receptus, which you've heard the professor talk about that. So that scholar, it was a dead language. Nobody spoke it anymore. So how did they begin to speak it? Well, we pronounce every letter because we don't know how they spoke it 2,000 years ago, but we know how we're going to speak it now because we're going to just pronounce every letter. So that's the Erasmian pronunciation. That's what we're using. Yes, sir?
Wouldn't that come from the Tower of Babel or anything?
No, this would have been, the Tower of Babel would have been something that happened before Christ in the Old Testament. This is actually in the 1500s is the time I'm referring to. This has been well after the New Testament. Yes, sir. All right, so just know that there's different ways to pronounce. If you go to Greece today, they're going to talk way different than the way you're. If you try to talk to them in Greek like this, they're going to look at you like you got two heads. But it's the same thing as if you try to talk King James English to somebody who talks, you know, like me,
American.
Southern American, yeah, you're going to have a different way of talking. So it's not that it's wrong, it just is. It isn't good or bad, it is. All right, so we know delta, epsilon is an E. We have that one, it's the same capital letter. Zeta, or some zeta, is a Z. Now, I have the hardest time drawing the zeta letter. Mine always comes out. I have a hard time writing it. When I'm writing, I did this today in the kids. I was substitute teaching, and I was actually writing their names in Greek for them just because I was in the class and we just needed something to do. So I was writing out their names in Greek, which is a fun activity. If you really want to know if you know the letters, just start writing English words in Greek letters, and you'll figure out how much you understand about diphthongs, how much you understand about how the relationship between the syllables work. It's really a neat exercise. So anyway, zeta is a hard one to write for me. Anyway, eta is what we would say is the long E sound at the end of agape. Is actually a long A sound, but in the way it's usually translated is a long E, but it has an A sound. So just that's where we say long A, long E. It's got the H and the... Everybody says it looks like an N. I think it looks like an H. This is one of the ones, if you just add a little higher side, to me, I've never had trouble remembering that one because I just think of it being a little longer H, and you got it. It's not an N, it's an H. Theta, or theta, is the O with the line through it. Now, you will see it sometimes like this, depending on the handwriting. Some of the handouts I hand you tonight, your theta will be like this, and your phi will be like this. And it's because that's the way you would write it. It would like that. And again, it's not the right way or the wrong way. It's a way. Be with me. It's because there's different ways of doing it. But you just give you that as a... If you see an O and a line's going horizontally, it's a th-th sound. If you see an O and the line's going vertically, it's a th-th sound. Got it? Th-th. All right. Yoda. I always joke with the kids. I say it's like Jedi Master Yoda. Because it's Iota. 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 It's Iota, but if you say Iota, it kind of has a yuh sound. And that's why Yesu, that's why we say that, when there's an I at the beginning. Right? Same thing. It is what it is. It's the way I say it. I'm a little weird. But I just like saying Jedi Master Yoda. You don't have to like Star Wars, but I do. Okay. So you got Iota, is the same, capital and lowercase, the same as English. Most of these are the same. Kappa is capital, same as the lowercase. Lambda, right, is the pyramid, right? And the lowercase lambda is the pyramid with the line just slightly offset. It's pyramid or pyramid with it slightly offset. So really that shouldn't throw you. Just know that you will sometimes confuse it with the delta, because you have to know that the delta has the line on the bottom and the lambda does not. So you as you're reading through, you'll see a lambda and you'll think, oh, delta, and it might catch you. So just kind of keep that in mind. Mu is M, and the lowercase m is just an m with a looks like a tail. Nu, let me show you how I do this with the kids. I think about the letter N, and then I erase that, and that's your new. It's just how I see it, in my mind's eye. Whether that's right or wrong or going to help you, I don't know. But if you think about an N, and you erase that part, it becomes the new.
So rather than thinking V, I'm trying to get you out of thinking English. I'm trying to get you to think these are their own letters, and how do they feel like my letters? This is how I get them to think. This is how I get to think that way. Xi or Xi is really kind of, it looks like a big E, if you think about it. Look at it. Think of it, you know, your epsilon looks like that. I put one too many. It looks like that, right? It looks like a big E. Think exit. XC. Exit. Looks like an E.
How about the capital?
Capital, that's one you're going to have to just memorize, because I haven't. It's three lines, but it's still the same thing. It's line, 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 if you connected these two,
yeah,
to an E.
Right.
That's really all they're doing with the lowercase, is they're taking the three lines and they're doing it together. There's still three lines. All right, I'm going to erase this. Is this being helpful?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Next is Omicron. Everybody knows that one, right? Sounds like a transformer. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, the Omicron's coming. Okay. All right, so the Omicron is got the big O, little O. P is the same, big and little. It's just, when it's big, it looks like pillars. P, pillars? It does. It looks like two pillars. That's what you have to think of P. Row. Row is row. They roll the R. Row. It looks like a P. That one is one that, again, just my brain sees this, which kind of looks like an R. I don't know if you're going to make that connection, but for me, that's okay. Or on the capital, my brain sees that. It sees the added line.
That's right.
Because that's the R. Just, and again, I had to trick myself into figuring this out, because I had to take tests too. I had to be able to remember this stuff. And these are just sometimes the things that work for some people don't work for others, so maybe it'll help you. Sigma, the sigma E looks, or the sigma capital looks like a giant E. That one, still to this day, every once in a while I'll see it and I'll think sound, and it's a sound. That's just one you're going to have to try to memorize, that it looks like that. If you have an idea, some kind of mental thing that helps you remember that that's a s sound, I haven't gotten there yet. I still have to, every time I see it, I think, Simone. Simon Peter. His name starts with that letter.
That's it is a sideways W.
That doesn't help me take an S, though.
Sideways,
yeah. Sideways. Hey, sideways. There you go. Sideways.
W-R-M.
Okay. Tau. Tau is the same up and it's T, and it's the same in English. Upsilon, this one will throw you. Because earlier, if you go back to gamma, you will see the lowercase y is the lowercase gamma. But the uppercase y is the uppercase upsilon. That is another one that you'll have to sort of just put in your memory bank. If you're concerned with the uppercase letters, and if you get to where you're reading, you're going to want to know these. That was one that sometimes will catch me, because I'll be thinking gamma because I'm thinking the lowercase, but it doesn't match in this case. Phi is, I think of a head holding a phone. It's a phone. You're looking at the guy sideways and the phone's against the side of his head. I mean, yeah. You'll remember it. You'll go home. You'll look at it and say, I know what that letter is. That's a phone letter. All right. The next one is, for me, easy, because what professors always said is very true. Xmas. K sound. It's the Christos starts with an X, not a C. Well, there's no C in Greek. It doesn't start with a kappa. It starts with a kasi, or a sound. All right, phi or psi rather. I think I've told you guys this. It looks like a trident. Think about popping a balloon and it makes a sound, psst, and that's the letter. That's the noise that you're thinking. Yeah.
That actually did help me the first time.
Yeah, that was years ago. Somebody told me that, and I was like, man, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Because the
B, key, to C all run together for me, so I had to figure out a way to break them up.
Yeah. And then omega, the big omega, looks like an O with feet. And the little omega looks like a W. That one will throw you off because you'll be thinking English. You'll be thinking O, W. But just remember, there is no W. So it's not a W. But like when we're going to look at the word later, glossa. Remember what's glossa? Remember what that word means?
Language.
Language. Right? Glossa is what? Gamma, lambda, omega, because it's glossa, not glossa. Glossa would be either an omicron or an alpha, depending on whether it was you know, depending. But it's glossa, and it has the omega. Okay? Is there any questions? I know, Ron, you probably have 1,000 because it's your first night.
Yeah.
But is there any questions about any of these letters or anything that you've noticed through your study or anything that you're having trouble with before we move to the diphthongs? Well, perfect. You guys are doing great. Well, let's go now to the diphthongs. The alpha iota diphthong makes the I sound, aisle. The epsilon iota diphthong makes the A. And you think about the number 8, EI starts. And then the omicron iota is oi. The alpha upsilon makes the ow, like cow. The epsilon upsilon makes the oo sound or u sound, like in feud. This is Edward. I don't know why this. I would scratch that out and put feud because that's a better. It should be feud. I don't know why it says Edward. I didn't make this particular part of that. That was one I got from a book, and I don't know where they're getting word Edward. But omicron upsilon is oo, like soup or food. And upsilon iota is we, like sweet or queen. All right, let's do all of the diphthongs together. I, A, oi, ow, you. Ooh, we. It's not the same order we're used to. We learned it in an order, and now we're throwing us out of order. All right, let's do the alphabet. These are in order. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, omicron, p, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega. One thing I am doing, I'm letting you cheat. Next time I'm going to tell you, put your hand over the letter because you can actually read it. I didn't think about that until just now. Yeah. All right. Going back on the same page over where it says smooth and rough. If you see a word beginning with a vowel letter and over it there is a comma and you see a same vowel and the comma is going backwards, which one has the H sound?
The right.
The second one. This one with, well, I'll put it on the right side. This one, by adding this breathing mark, adds the H sound to the front. So it's not Hagios, it's Hagios, which is holy. There's a lot of times where that's going to really need to be thought of when you're pronouncing it. If you are teaching your people and you're reading out a Greek word. There, I see a lot of guys that just miss the breathing altogether and just say it without the H sound. And that, it is part of the word. Okay? So that is the breathing which makes the H sound because there is no H letter. So that establishes the H letter for us. Any questions on that? Okay. We have the next thing is the punctuation. A period is a.
Period.
A comma is a.
Comma.
A semicolon is a.
Period.
Period above the line. And the question mark is a semicolon. Yeah. Again, when it was originally written, those didn't exist. So, but they do. So, they were added for whose benefit? The
the person reading. So that people like us wouldn't have to figure it out. You know, somebody has figured it out, put it together for us, and it's a benefit. All right. Now, this next part is something I want you to do. You are going to write your name. We're going to take 5 minutes of class. I give you, in this form, the right way to write the letters as you're writing. So if you look at the alpha, you start here, and it's alpha. And then beta comes up from here, right? And then gamma down here. Delta here. Epsilon. And here's the one I can't do. I just really have trouble with that one. Eta, right? Theta. Iota. Kappa. Lambda. Right? Mu. Nu. Xi. Omicron. P. Rho. Sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, and then omega. All right. Figure out how to write your name. You may already be doing it, but you can do it at the bottom of the page. I left you a space there. He just gave me the funniest look. Like, I hate you.
He had asked us to do it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. He mentioned it in class. That's why.
But we never did bring it back up. My problem is, I know that, like, Jesus uses the capital Iota.
Mm-hmm.
Is that in place of all J's?
Yes. So remind me again of your first name. Jason. Yeah, it would be Jason. It would be Iason. Or Yasin. For you, I would do Iota. Ada, because I want to have the long A sound. And then, see, I'm doing this for you.
I figured if I asked.
And then it would be Omicron Nu. So it would be Iason. Yeah. Because there's not a J. So you're not good. J is a Germanic sound. J is something that comes to us in German. That's why Jehovah is not the way that you pronounce the sacred name of God. It can't be, because the judge sound does not exist in Hebrew, and the judge sound does not exist in Greek. Jehovah is a Germanic change to the Tetragrammaton. Tetragrammaton, Yod, He, Vod. Oh, I did that wrong. My Hebrew is nowhere as good as my Greek. But Yod, He, Vod, He is the four-letter name of God. And what we would say, Yahweh, or Yehovah. Yehovah is a combination of Yahweh and Adonai. And it's the reason for that is because they would not pronounce the divine name, so they combined Yahweh and Adonai to make Yehovah. And it becomes a change in the name so that they don't pronounce God's name and take his name in vain. Okay? So when the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door and they tell you God's name is Jehovah, don't use that argument, because then it's going to go, use something else. But really, the whole idea of, you know, if you want to call God Jehovah, that's fine. It's just like calling Jesus Jesus. Nothing wrong with it. And if that's what you call God and that makes you happy, don't think I'm trampling on your sensibilities. I'm not. I'm just saying German is where we get the J-J-J sound.
Okay.
What's your Cecil? What would be a sigma?
Sigma.
C. That's another problem that you have. It's the same as me. Because Keith, there's no diphthong that makes the E sound like our names do. Because my, in English, K-E-I-T-H, is Keith. Yours is Cecil. It would actually be more like Sassel. Like, I would say mine is either Kath or Kaith. For me, I always say it's Kaith. So it would be like Kaith. I don't know if you ever heard anybody call somebody Keith.
What am I using? Sigma?
Huh? Yeah, I would say Sigma. And it would be Sigma. Cecil would be Sigma. Iota, Lambda. So it would be Cecil. And that's close enough. Man. It sounds similar.
Oh, with my Eric.
Eric. Everybody's having to do it.
Epsilon.
Epsilon, Rho.
Mm-hmm.
Iota, Kappa.
Yep.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. You're teasing me.
Oh. Ron.
Yeah.
So we Rho.
P.
Yeah. Omicron Nu.
Yeah,
Ron. Hey, you got it. You got it.
No,
yes, sir.
He got it. First day he got it.
In fact, you can
see. When John wrote his run name, it doesn't play the plants. Daweed. I can't remember how we do the W.
Oh, the Daweed. We is the diphthong of the upsilon and the iota. So it's we is the is coming from the last diphthong on the paper, the one that's the upsilon iota.
Okay.
So it's it would be delta alpha upsilon iota delta Daweed. It would actually be Stephen, like it's written in Scripture. Yours has the V, right? But in Scripture, you notice that Stephen does not have the V. You know why? Because there's no V in Greek. Stephen's a Greek name. It is sigma tau. Epsilon, phi, epsilon, nu.
Oh, man.
It's the f. It's Stephen. Stephen is a more of a modern way of saying it. Stephen. All right. Anybody else having trouble with their names?
Just, I was just confused because I didn't have a J.
Well, that, I would.
This was double an I.
It wouldn't sound the same as it does in English,
yeah.
But that was that would be the way I would say it. It should be. Yeah, son.
No,
I, it's actually iota, the because it's io, Ie-san would be his name, not Jason, because there's no J sound.
You know what I've done?
Yes, sir.
I put the OS on there,
Stephanos. Stephanos, yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, that's true, Stephanos.
Sounds more official then, right?
Yeah. All right, so we good? I can erase this and move on. I want to get...
I thought you
were
going
to write it on there. Yoda. What's that? Remind me your name. Remind me. I want to see it. What you got?
Sandra. And then Robin.
Oh, yeah, got a minute. Robinson. Okay.
I'm working on it.
All right. You guys want to really have fun now? I mean, like, really knock it out?
Come on.
We're going to have some fun now. If you guys got your names done, because when we turn this page over, we're going to get real. All
right, I'm done.
Yeah. I can do my last name exactly.
Can you?
Yeah. Owen.
Oh.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
O-W and Omega.
Yeah.
Epsilon.
O-N. Yeah. Yep. All right, guys. Turn your page over. This is Greek matching. How many of you, when y'all were in school... You would get, a teacher would give you all the answers on one side and all the questions on the other side, and you had to draw a line to the, from what to the other. Well, that is what this is. I made this just for us. This is not in anybody's textbook. This is from Mr. Fossey's textbook. I like doing this kind of stuff because what we're going to do is we're going to read all these Greek sentences. Now, there's some words you don't know. That's okay. But the words you do know, we're going to underline as we go. And then we're going to find the verse that attaches to it based on the root, the words that we're using. Okay? All right, so we're going to... Yes, sir. You know the first one. What's the first one? That is John 1:1. Can you read the text for us? Okay, and I'm not calling you out. I just didn't know. Yeah. How did you know it was the first one? Yep, Logos. Yep.
Logos,
yep. God, yep. Let's walk through it. Let's walk through it together. N, R, K, Ain, Ha, Logos. Say that. N, R, K, Ain, Ha, Logos. All right. Kai, Ha, Logos. Ain, Pros, Ton theon. Kai theos. Ain halagos. All right. Now, he was right. So if you want to draw your line, find John 1:1 on the other page, which is almost down at the bottom. Take your little line and draw from that to John 1:1. Because I want you to have these, because later you'll get to take this home. And you'll at least, you'll know that these verses go with these. You know the next one?
Look, I was going to say the Clara, did it?
You already know them. Look at you. All right, all right.
That important, man.
All right, Mr. Eric.
Okay.
You better get it right, dog. I can tell you.
Look, 2 and 8.
No. I'm sorry. No.
Oh,
oh man. Okay. Which one is it, sweetheart? It is Philippians 2:11. I wonder how she knows though. How do you know? Because of the word and. Glossa is the word that was the one that I wanted us to get. Because it's. Yeah. By the way, if you ever see, and I know this is not one of our words, but it will be soon. I know it will be. It has to be because all over. That's all. And that's the word, kai pasa, glosa. Mm-hmm. And that every is a derivative of all, mm-hmm. panta is every or all, and that every tongue, that's the glosa. Okay, just so you know, you'll see pas, panta, pasa, these are all derivatives of the word all or every. Okay?
So just keep that in mind.
Kai can mean different,
huh?
Different things, too. Kai can mean like and, but.
Generally, it is a conjunctive. Generally, it's the and. It can sometimes be a but typically it's going to be and. So, but that's what you thought, Eric, because you saw and you went down and found the and. Yes. That's good, though. At least you made that connection. It's kai pasa glosa, and that every tongue. Ek, let's do this long word, because it is a long word. Ex am al. Lage setai. That's a long word.
And what is that whole word?
That is confession.
Oh.
Look at the root. Lage. Word or speak. See, it's in the middle there. See, in Greek, what you have, and this is something we've seen, but we haven't really seen it this way. I'm going to show you something kind of neat. In Greek, what you have is the root. Sometimes in the you have a computer program that calls it the lemma.
The lemma, yeah.
Lemma is the root or the base word. Mm-hmm. From that you have the stem and the ending. So you have stem, ending. Stem will change the root's use in the sentence. It's where we develop syntax, and the ending will give us things like number. It's like if you were saying apple or apples. Well, that becomes the ending, which gives us the number, how we're doing an apple or apples. Okay, so that's why you have, it's similar to English, because you'll have construct, right? I missed a word. You have construct. That's your lemma. You have construct, construction. That changes the meaning, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Construct is different than construction. And it changes how you use it in a sentence. That becomes the stem.
Right.
And then constructions would mean multiple ones.
Mm-hmm. Ending would give you the number and also give you the gender as well?
Yeah, and after you determine gender and things like that. Well, actually, gender comes in the stem a lot, like in apostola
right.
Or apostolos. The gender is actually in that ah sound. Yeah. That's where you're finding that it's a masculine. Okay? You also have the prefixes, and we haven't got there yet, so I don't want to spend a lot of time with it. But you know the word euangelion. Euangelion means what? Gospel. And he's been saying it's you taking the message, which is how he's using it. But what does the prefix epsilon upsilon mean? Huh? The prefix euangelion means good. Good message. It's the same for eulogy. If you're a pastor, at some point you will give a eulogy, and that means a good word, logos, with the prefix epsilon, upsilon. Eulogos, eulogy. It's to speak good about somebody. That's why you don't go up there and say, hey, this guy was a jerk, he drank all the time, and he's dead now, and I'm happy. Never say that. No. But you see, that's where it's the same as English. Because we do the same thing. We add stems and endings. We add prefixes. What if I put reconstruct? What would it mean? I'm doing it again. All right? Just to say, you're going to see this. So that's why I say when you see this, you'll see log A in there. It's got a prefix and an ending, which makes it the confession. It's a type of word. Okay? Hati korias Iesus Christos eis doxan theou patras. That is, korias Iesus is what? Korias Iesus. It's the Lord Jesus Christos, which is Christ. Korias is Lord. Way I remember that is during the time of the early church, there was a demand among the people, Kaiser Korias! Caesar is Lord. And the church would say, no, Iesus Korias. Jesus is Lord. That was the response, and that's what would lose your head. It's what would get you thrown to the lions. The unwillingness to submit to Kaiser Korias. Caesar is Lord. I just happen to remember it that way. Alright. So that's the second one. That's we know that's Philippians 2:11 if y'all want to write that down. Okay, next one. Who wants to take a stab at it?
Romans 5:12.
How do you know?
Cosmos.
He's right. It is Romans 5:12. Dia. That's where we get the wherefore or through. Tuta. What's the next word? Is it os or hos?
Hos.
Hos per. That's right. Enos. Anthropou. What does anthropos mean?
Man.
So anthropou gives it the genitive ending, so of man, right? Or by a man. And that's what it's saying. By a man sent into the world. A amartia eis ton kosmon. Sin into the world by a man. That's what that means. And then eisel thun kai diates. Hamartias ha thanatos. What is yeah. Thanatos? Yeah, there. That's what I tried to pick ones that had multiple words that we would know. So we could pick them out. Thanatos we know is
death.
Yeah. Right? Kai hutos eis pontos. That's another all word. Pontos. Pontos. Anthropos. What's anthropos?
Man.
So anthropos. It's this different ending, but same root. Ha thanatos, death. Diel thin, that was a little hard one to pronounce there. Diel thin, f ho pontas hamarton. Hamarton is a derivative of hamartia. Okay, so that is Romans 5:12. Next one, who wants to take a guess? This one has a trick word in it.
I'm going for John 14:26.
And you are right. How did you know?
Well, what I really figured out was that the ego at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I knew he was talking to.
I have said.
To you.
Yep. Yep. That's right. Humen is to you, and then the ego. I'm speaking. All right. Here's the word I wanted you guys to see, though, just because, yeah, parakletos. You guys all know the word paraclete, don't you? You've heard the word paraclete, which means what?
Yep. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. It's the word Jesus. We always talk about the word comforter. Mm-hmm. And that's the third word there, parakletos. To come alongside. Para is the prefix, which means to be beside something. We've already learned a word, parabole. Mm-hmm. By the way, this is just a little side thing for you guys. Parabole means what?
Parable.
Hyperbole is hyperbole. You ever heard hyperbole?
Mm-hmm.
Hyperbole means to use an extreme example. I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. Now you might believe I could, but generally, so hungry I could eat a horse is called hyperbole. Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. That is not a literal call to personal cutting off of limbs. What is it saying? It's saying if there's anything that you have that's causing you to sin, get it away from you, force it away from you, and be really stern with it. Get it away from you. And the hyperbole that he uses is pluck out your eye, cut off your hand. So Jesus,
if you don't love your mother and father,
if you don't hate them, right? Yeah, if you don't hate your mother and father, that's hyperbole. Because the love for God and Christ should be so much more, Exactly. So that's what we call hyperbole. Parabole, hyperbole. Parabole is to set something beside something else that is similar. Hyperbole is to set something beside something else that's exaggerated. Hyper. It's more.
Hypochondria.
Yeah. So if you think of someone, if Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like this, that's a parable because he's giving something that it's similar to. It's not hyperbole, it's parabole. Okay? That's free. Yeah, I had to pay for that one. That's just something just to think about. I just remember teaching on that a while back. I thought it would be interesting. Okay, so parakletos, brother was right. Jason was right. It is John 14:26 there. And the last word in that sentence is ego. Lego, my ego, is an actual Greek term. It means I said to myself. Lego, my ego. I spoke unto myself or said to myself. So go home, everybody, and say, I learned Lego, my ego. Huh? I spoke or said unto myself. Lego, my, to Lego is speaking. Lego, my, to Lego, to myself. Yeah. Lego, my ego. Okay. All right. Huh? Well, yeah. I said to myself, self? Okay, anyway.
All right, Mr. Brown.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Self?
Don't talk back, then you get
yeah, that's
the problem.
All right, next is the one after this is the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth one down. Which one is this?
Process of elimination here.
You're going to use process elimination. Okay.
4, 3, 16.
All right.
In the first letter.
Yeah. It is. It. You guys are cheating on me. They are right. It is Luke, but there's a word in here I wanted you to see. See if you can find the word I wanted you to see. It's a one of the words, and I made sure it was the right way that we use it, too, because sometimes we'll learn a lemma and they have different endings. This is the exact way we've learned it. Which Alte, yes. That was Yeah, that's the third person speaking of them. That's not the one I was thinking. And Kai isn't either. There's another word. One of the later ones that we've learned.
What verse did you say it was?
It's the fifth one down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Starts Kai Poimenes. Hey, son, in, te, cora, te, alte, agraluntes, kai, fulasantes, fulacas, te, nuptas, epi, tain, poi, poim, nain, auton. Well, auton isn't the one I was thinking of, but that is one that we've used. You want me to give it to you? Nuptas.
Oh, yeah,
Nuptas means what?
Night.
So, huh? You don't remember us doing that one? Was that not one of our words? Hey, if I'm wrong, I thought we had it.
Remember, that don't mean nothing.
Well, if I was wrong, I apologize. You guys got it though. It is the Lucan passage there, Luke 2:8. The watching their flocks by Nuptas night. Think of something that's nocturnal. A nocturnal animal sleeps during the day and is up at night. That's what you think of. Nuctos is nocturnal. That's just to help you. Again, if it wasn't the word we had, I apologize. I could have swore it was. But, okay. All right, good. All right. So there's that one. So you know that one. Now, process of elimination, we only got two left.
2 Timothy 3:16.
Is the next one. It is 2 Timothy 3:16. One of the most important passages in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned, of defining what is our ultimate authority. When we talk to the people who believe in the Pope and they believe in the ultimate authority of the Pope, or we talk to the Mormon who believes in the ultimate authority of Joseph Smith, or we talk to the Jehovah Witness who believes in the ultimate authority of the prophets in Brooklyn, we need to understand that our ultimate authority is the Word of God. Theopneustos. Theopneustos is the Greek word God breathed. Theopneustos is a combination of two words that you already know. Theos and Pneuma. Pneuma means what? It means breath, actually. But we use it for the word spirit. It's a euphemism for spirit. God breathed into him the breath of life, became a living soul. It's euphemistic. But you think of the word pneumatic. What's a pneumatic tool? Air driven. It's breath. It's air. It speaks of air. So theopneustos is God breathed. So it says pasa, all. Graphe, scripture. Theopneustos, breathed out by God. And then it goes on to say it is profitable for teaching and for reproof and for doctrine and for correction and instruction and righteousness. That is an important word. I recommend you already know the two words it's made up of, the theos and pneuma. Theopneustos is hugely important because I don't bow down to the Pope and I don't kiss his ring and he has no authority over me. That's right. He's in a holy lot of trouble when he faces Jesus because he took all three of the titles of the Trinity. He calls himself Holy Father, which is a title for God the Father. Jesus gave it to him in John 17. He calls himself the Vicar of Christ, which is the name for the Holy Spirit. Vicarious means to be in the place of. Jesus said, I must go so that the Spirit may come in my place. He will be one like me. Allos Parakletos, one like unto me. He is the Vicar of Christ, is the Holy Spirit, not the Pope. And he calls himself the head of the church, which is the name of Jesus Christ. Ephesians tells us there is but one head of the church, and it's Jesus Christ. The Pope calls himself by all three names of the Trinity. He's a heretic. He's dangerous. Yes. Just in case you were wondering. You want me to tell you again? All right. He calls himself the Holy Father, which John 17, Jesus refers to God the Father as the Holy Father. He calls himself Vicar of Christ. Vicar is short for vicarious, or one who stands in the place of Christ. That is a title which Christ gives to the Holy Spirit. He says, he will come, I will go, and he will come in my place. And the last one is head of the church, which is Jesus is the head of the church, Ephesians 4. We know that. He says, the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. That's important. You know, recently when the Pope came to town, I preached a message called The Heresy of the Papacy. That was my sermon title. I get you a copy. I'd be happy to give it to you. So anyway, I don't want to spend all night on that. I could get a rabbit trail. But anyhow, Theopneustos, the scripture alone, is our sole infallible rule of faith and practice. It is this sola scriptura, is the Latin. It was used during the time of the Reformation to stand. It was the banner that Luther stood under. Sola scriptura, by scripture alone. So, all right. Finally, I put Abraham in this one. I figured this one would be the one everybody would get. So it's okay if you already know it. Which one is it?
Third left, third word.
Huh? Yeah, well, Abraham. But which one? It's the Luke 16:29. It also has the name of Moses in it as well. I figured that would be kind of a double whammy. And prophetes. And akousatoson. Akousatoson means what? Akouo means to hear. So akousatoson is to say, is the auton there, or auton. So akousatoson is to hear them. Let them hear them is the thing there. Was that helpful? Was that fun? Well, I like to have fun. Well, let me give you the other ones I have, and we'll do a few things, and then we'll draw to a close. I don't want to drag out my time here. But let me give you these. We'll look at them. And one of them we'll do together, and one I'll make you guys, not make you, but I'll give it to you for homework. Who is my helper? Mr. Randy, you want to help me? It was because you're Oh, let me have one. Make sure I get one, too. No, there's only one that's stapled. I'll take the one that's stapled, brother. I copied them front and back.
Oh, I see.
And here's one for Miss Sandra, Mr. Cecil.
That one, yep.
And then,
you guys station the
pack. Yep. Anybody else? Okay, we're good. All right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Hey, don't hate, huh?
How do you say that in Greek?
What did
you
say? Don't hate?
What?
Teacher's pet. Oh, teacher's pet.
How do you say that in Greek? Why don't I say it in English?
Yeah. All right, guys. We're going to have some fun. Take out this one. Or did you want to? What? Okay. You should only have two, but they're both two-sided.
It's two-sided.
Yeah. Take out the one that looks like it's got pictures on it. Okay. This is honestly, I do this with kids because it's fun, and I figured we did the hard.